Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to episode 34 of Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. It's February, which means the games are only 2 months away, or to be precise, just 9 Fridays to go. We are into single figures. On this edition, we speak with Olympic gold medalist Catherine Skinner and talk about Australia's shooting team for the Games, historically one of Australia's most successful sports. And we'll also unveil the Games table tennis team and check in on a stack of results as Games preparations heat up. The uniform's been unveiled and the countdown is on in earnest. But before we speak with Catherine, and as we count down with just 9 Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. Where is it you want to go? Four defending champions, a gold medal winner, and a host of debutants will be among the 28 athletes to take on the shooting range at the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games. The Australian team features a new generation of potential shooting stars, with 7 members of the team under the age of 20, including 15-year-old rifle shooter Tori Rossiter. The debutants will have plenty of assistance, with Commonwealth Games veterans such as pistol shooter Bruce Quick, who will line up in a record equaling 7th Games in a career that stretches back to Auckland in 1990, and Glasgow gold medalist David Chapman in his 4th team by the sides of the rookies. In the shotgun events, Glasgow gold medalist Letitia Scanlon and Laura Coles return, and they'll be joined by Olympic gold medalist Catherine Skinner, and Catherine will join us later in the podcast. The full team is available at the Commonwealth Games Australia website. In table tennis, 12 athletes have been named in the Australian team for the Games, including 2 5-time Games representatives. Melissa Tapper, a bronze medalist in Glasgow 2014 in the women's team event, will represent Australia in both able-bodied and para table tennis competitions, becoming the first Australian athlete to do so at the Commonwealth Games. Jian Feng Lei, representing Australia for her 5th Games, along with Miao Miao, and Jian is currently Australia's #1 player. So congratulations to Jian and Miao Miao, representing Australia at their 5th Commonwealth Games. With silver in the women's doubles and bronze in the women's teams in Glasgow and 7 Commonwealth Games medals in total, Lei is relishing the opportunity to be playing for the green and gold again. The men's team is headed by the experienced Hemming Hugh, and the full team is also available on the Commonwealth Games Australia website. It's been a busy week for competition for our Games aspirants, and here's a quick wrap. The Diamonds have wrapped up their 4-nation tournament in Johannesburg with a 6th successive victory over New Zealand. Lisa Alexander's side prevailed 67-48 over the Kiwis with an emphatic display that sent an ominous warning to their rivals ahead of the Games. In rugby sevens, 2 huge wins to our men's and women's team at the Sydney Sevens. The women crushed New Zealand 31-0 in the final and went through the tournament without conceding a point, the first time a men's or women's team had done so at the Sydney Sevens. The men's side won their first World Series title since 2012, beating defending champion South Africa 29-0 in the final. The women are off to Brisbane for another competition in the World Series, and the men's moves to Hamilton in New Zealand. Meanwhile, the pools have been announced for the Commonwealth Games Rugby Sevens competition, and the men, Australian men, will be up against England, Samoa and Jamaica, and the women will be up against Fiji, England and Wales in those pool competitions. In hockey, the Kookaburras are in action against the Netherlands, with the team drawing 3-3 in the first test and then going down 3-2 in the second, ahead of 2 more tests in Perth. In cycling, it was a great weekend at the Cadell Evans Great Ocean Road Race, with Chloe Hosking taking the women's race and Australia's Jay McCarthy the men's race at the World Tour event. Hosking's win earned her automatic nomination into the Games team. And the Track Cycling National Championships and nomination trials are underway at the Anna Mears Velodrome. And we'll have a wrap-up of all of that action in the next edition of Gold Coast Gold. In athletics, there were 5 A qualifiers and 29 B qualifiers achieved at the ACT athletics titles. Sally Pearson led the way, along with 800-metre runner Luke Matthews, who was impressive in taking out the men's 2-lap event. And in other games news, the official launch of Festival 2018 has been revealed, with a spectacular lineup of arts and cultural entertainment across the 12 days of the games. The festival program features free entertainment and more than 1,000 arts and cultural experiences, with over 1,400 artists from 50 countries. And the Queen's Baton Relay continues its journey towards the opening ceremony on Wednesday, the 4th of April. After its journey around the ACT, it headed off to the Western Plains of New South Wales, including Parkes, Forbes and Dubbo, and is off to the north coast of New South Wales in Coffs Harbour. And it's great to see the faces of so many former Australian Commonwealth Games athletes carrying the baton, and you can follow the action on the Gold Coast 2018 social media and website channels as it completes its journey towards the Gold Coast. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games news. Joining me on Gold Coast Gold today is our feature interviewer is Rio Olympic gold medalist and Glasgow Commonwealth Games representative Catherine Skinner, who's off to her second Games. Catherine, thanks for your time and thanks for joining us and congratulations on your selection.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You must be relieved, I guess. You've had such an interesting journey that after winning, we'll get to all of this, but after winning the Olympic gold medal in Rio, there was a question for a little while whether you were going to continue on with your career. You've got you finished your university degree, getting back into the workforce, etc. But decided to continue on and returning to the Commonwealth Games. It must be exciting for you.
Yeah, there was definitely a big question there of whether I came back in enough time as well. The level now that are in the women's trap is just so high, so it's very difficult to hold a spot, let alone to qualify. So it really had me on edge and a bit worried there for quite a while.
What was the selection process?
Well, we had five events, and whoever had the highest aggregate score over those, the best of 4 of those 5, and had automatic qualification, and then the next person in line, and for the second spot in the team was selected on a different criteria, and we got blown away by Letitia in the she got the premier spot, and then it was very tight for that second one, and I think some performances internationally saved me, but it was still very tight and a bit worrying, so you're always waiting for that email or phone call to tell you that you've got in.
Is that how the normal selection process works for you in shooting, that there's a one automatic spot and then some discretionary selections?
Historically, yes, but at the same time, it's hard to say because every event we've got a different selection policy, and it's been particularly challenging in the last few years because we've also been changing how our events run. So we've had about 4 different final systems coming through, and that's always made it a bit chaotic. But essentially, it's whoever gets the highest scores and is best performing gets to go.
And you're going, so that's good news. Your Commonwealth Games experience from Glasgow was very helpful for you in Rio, not very helpful for you in Glasgow. Explain to us what happened.
Well, in Glasgow, I was going in with a whole lot of pressure and was very driven on doing the absolute best. But I sort of self-imploded. And during the day, I had a perfect run leading up to the final. Well, I actually qualified in that top spot with the highest score out of the field. But then I dropped out in 5th spot out of the final. Just had a really shocker. And my teammate, Letitia Scanlon, went on to win the gold when she came in at number 6, so the bottom spot to qualify for the final. And it turned out to be a mirror image for what happened in Rio, where I came in 6th spot and she was the top qualifier for the finals. and I went on to win the gold, and she came out, I think, about fifth or sixth. So it's a very dramatic change, and you know, it just flips you on your head. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's just one of those experiences that makes you stronger. It's tough in the moment, but in the when you look back on it, it's a big learning experience.
We're joined by Catherine Skinner, Olympic gold medalist from Rio, off to her second games as part of our shooting team. 28 athletes heading to the shooting range for the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Catherine, your event's a trap, and for those that, you know, I think most of us would have an idea of what that event is. The clay targets get fired, you've got to shoot them. It's pretty straightforward, but I'm not sure that there's a more difficult skill in any of the Commonwealth Games sports. How do you cope with the pressure of it all? Because, you know, you get to decide, you know, pull, and it shoots out, and you've got to shoot it.
Yeah.
That's not easy. Sure. Sounds simple, not easy.
Oh, it comes down to routine, and that's essentially what we're training for, is, you know, to try and get a routine down pat so that it's all reflex. And it's very difficult and very frustrating in the process, because we're talking microseconds, you know, of difference. And we have a binary result. You either hit it or you miss it. But there's a whole lot of very small detail behind it. And the only way to really can manage it is trying to make everything automatic and then remove the human element. And, yeah, it's just very frustrating, because it is your mind, and it feels like you've done everything the same. Or it might be this tiny little detail that trips you up. But that's the challenge of the sport, it's trying to be perfect.
So how do you prepare for that? How do you prepare for your competition in a major championship? Is it just by shooting so many targets that it becomes automatic, or is there some other approach that you take?
Well, there is definitely an element of shooting a lot of targets, but there's also an element of confidence and, you know, trying to gauge where you are now on the performance cycle. We learn quite often that there is a peak and there's a dip. And we try to work out what it is that makes you hit those peaks, and try to time that peak with the big event. And sometimes it's just about shooting targets to get you through the dips. But essentially, you just got to try and do everything that you can and hope that you're going to be having a good day when that day turns around.
What are you thinking of? Do you think of anything when you're on the range?
Depends on where you are on the dip, because when everything's going really well, you're not really thinking of everything, of anything. You might be thinking about shopping on the weekend or a party that you've been at, and everything's automatic. But on other days, you're really calculated and really focused on what's happening. And that sort of refers back to what I said earlier about we just have to keep practicing into making it all automatic. Well, that's where you have to let the reflexes or let that training show. I was watching a fair bit about ballet and how they train. They will rehearse the same steps over and over until it's just automatic. And then, during the performance, it's about just almost regurgitating and replaying what they've practiced, and just hoping that you've made all these little corrections along the way that it ends up perfect. But if you do make a mistake, you just got to let it flow and let it go and keep going. And I think that's very similar to what we do.
I find the whole psychology of the event fascinating, and I had the pleasure of watching you in action at the World University Games in 2015, where you were the flag bearer for the team and the defending champion, etc. And to watch the psychology of the event as it unfolds, and moving up and down the range, and it's your turn, then it's not your turn, and it's everyone else's turn. Are you a watcher? Do you watch what everyone else is doing when you're
no.
in the competition?
No, I'm the exact opposite. I try to isolate myself from everything. Often I'll be doing other things from it, whether I'm reading a book or just trawling through Facebook. I'll be trying to isolate myself from the event. And then the only thing that I really be watching for is who's going out before me. So I've got a cue of when I've got to start preparing again. So you've kind of got a train of a switch in there where you're able to switch off and let everything else take care of itself, and then switch on to get ready to focus on your bit. Because essentially, I can't do anything to affect anyone else's performances, or at least I shouldn't be, otherwise that'll be bad sportsmanship. So everyone's got to do their own race, and then we just compare the results at the end of the day.
So when you're on the range, you don't have any idea of the score?
I try not to.
You must
have these points of contention with everyone else, because people want to talk about it, and some people really feed off it, where they want the support when they've had a bad one, or they want to celebrate when they've had a good round. But I try to isolate myself from it, so then their results don't affect mine.
It's a little bit like golf, isn't it, whether you're looking at the leaderboard or not. And in Rio, you had that look of surprise that all of a sudden you've won the gold medal. And there was a fantastic photo of Leticia jumping into your arms, and the look of pure joy and excitement on her face at your victory, despite her own disappointment, I found remarkable. Is there a fraternity amongst the shooters? And, you know, if those roles were reversed and it was Leticia that was winning and you were overcoming the disappointment, like Glasgow, are you able to celebrate the success like she did? I thought it was remarkable, her reaction to your win in Rio.
It was definitely remarkable, but it's a very difficult thing to really do, as well, to put aside your own your own feelings about these things. And it's such a personal thing too, because there is a fraternity, and it's a lot easier to celebrate your celebrate your friends' victories or your own. But it's also quite difficult when you're dealing with your own disappointments, and we all react differently. So I'll put it out there that if Leticia had won, I would not have been reacting that way. I would have really struggled with it. But I don't think that there was anything wrong with that reaction either. We've all got to manage, and everyone's got their own responses to it. And I think we really, that picture also showed a snapshot of two different personalities. She's very outgoing, while I kind of did a blue screen. We're not trying to reset and overcome the shock.
Well, Olympic gold medalist for life. Let's go back to how you got involved in the sport in the first place. You grew up in Mansfield in country Victoria. It's we're about to go into the Winter Olympics, so home of Chumpy Pullen and Simon Gerrans and a stack of, I don't know what's in the water up there, but there's obviously something. Did you grow up on a farm and were always in Mansfield, and how did you become a competitive shooter?
Well, I definitely grew up on a farm, and Mansfield has a bit of a history of really good shots. We were quite lucky that we've got some world champions and actually a past Olympic representative up that way. And they were, and I was for shooting as well. So it always helped having someone that had achieved success in your sort of immediate connections, because then it seemed possible. And even just having almost like a mentor where if you did come across in trouble, you're able to ask them a question and you knew it was from a credible source. But there's always the armchair experts that aren't always correct. But when you've got someone that has had success, it's a lot more reliable. We've always had such a strong and variety of high performers coming out of Mansfield. So there's definitely something in the water up there.
And how was your, when you're growing up on a farm, I guess, guns are part of growing up on a farm. Is that the way it works?
It was a bit of that. I also lucked out that my family was involved in clay target shooting for a few generations. So it would just seem like a natural thing to do, because I've got two older brothers and they were involved in the clay target shooting. So I grew up out at the gun clubs on a Sunday, and it just seemed like a natural thing, the same way that other families would think it was natural to be at the football on a Saturday for Auskick or at the tennis courts. It was just something that we did. And so when I turned 12 and I was able to start, I started. And No, I just happened to be quite good at it. So I was able to travel around and I got picked up by talent squads and put onto that high performance development system, and it paid off.
And the rest is then history. Having gone to Commonwealth Games and three World University Games, where you've won a medal of each colour and, of course, had Olympic gold medal in Rio. Shooting as a sport is a lot different to shooting, in the more controversial elements where you're actually going out to kill. Yeah. How do you live with both of those two things?
I think it comes down to perception. Now, to me, shooting is a sport. It's not a crime. It's not it's something dangerous. It's just something that reflects how you behave with it. It's the same way you could look at a car. It can be used to do incredible damage that we've seen recently with the city from it if you've got someone really motivated behind it. The gun's just a tool and it comes down to how you use it. And for sport, we're using it in a safe manner. And that was one of the reasons my family got involved in the clay target net shooting, was that it's so controlled, but there was a purpose to it, that you weren't going to be getting into the dangerous areas, and there was a motivation behind it. So we were shooting for enjoyment, but you weren't getting yourself into trouble, and there was no temptation to do something risky with it. And whether it was just a lack of judgment and or other motivations. So it just sort of comes down to the person, and we just really need to make a distinction between criminal activity and actual legitimate use.
And travelling with a gun can't be easy, I wouldn't imagine. What do you have to go through whenever you jump on a plane, whether it's a domestic or an international, with your firearm?
Oh, quite a bit of paperwork. I got to know customs pretty well. But at the same time, you've got to also recognise that different countries have different restrictions. So some are easy and some are really difficult. And it just so depends on where you're going. But at the same time, it just comes down to knowing the rules and knowing what you can do correctly. I wouldn't think that we're much more of a hassle than we could be if we're carting around a kayak or the cycling bikes. There's just a method, and once you get to know the system, it seems pretty easy.
Your education is something that's always been of interest to me, having watched you from World University Games. Chemical engineering at RMIT. Took you a while to get your degree, though.
Yeah. Oh, it's always a tricky one because of commitments, and Murphy's Law always said that the important things are happening at the same time. So it took a while there, but we got through in the end.
How long?
So in the 7 years for a four-year course.
Yeah.
I will put a little asterisk, a little footnote there, that I did take a full year and a half off now to prepare for the major events. That's when the shooting demands were now a lot higher. So there is a little bit of a buffer zone there, but it was still pretty challenging.
And you've dipped your toe into the workforce. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it's very full on. And I think the tricky bit's trying to manage both. Because I've just started working again, so hopefully this place will be a bit more flexible than the previous place. But like many things, it so depends on the role that you take on. So fingers crossed it works out.
And I read a really interesting story in, I think it was the Australian magazine before Christmas, about your mentor and the Change the Game program, which the Australian Institute of Sport have introduced. Just tell us a little bit about that program and your mentor and what you got out of it.
Well, a bit of the background is that now we have realised that there's a lot of athletes that are falling through the cracks post-sport or in that transition from high sport into the workforce. And the idea was that we get a mentoring project with that pairs up an elite athlete with a corporate high performer, or whether they're management, HR, production, all sorts of things. And now I was involved in this pilot program that thankfully Blue Scopes Deal now decided to test it out. And the idea was that by pairing us up now with one of these corporate high performers, that we'll be able to compare notes and learn a bit more now from each other's perspectives. So where an athlete might be able to get some help with, say, soft skills or like resume or just even knowing what roles are out there, while the corporate high flyers will be able to quiz us about how to prepare for things or maintaining a work-life balance or even just having someone, a bit of accountability to make sure they go to the gym. It was about learning from both sides of us. And I was lucky enough to be paired up with Lewis Want, his official title was, but he was a manager for one of the sections of the in production up in Port Kembla. And it started off a bit rocky because both of us had sort of a weakness in the same area, so I wasn't sure how we were going to be able to help each other. But it ended up becoming a bit more of a support thing because we were both at the same point, in a point of time. And it was just being able to check in every so often. And by helping someone else, it's kind of reminded you of your own pathway and that sometimes the answer was there. It's just you didn't know you had the answer. We developed a bit of a close relationship over that time. And I think it was a good insight that we ran it over a full year with coming into Rio, because that meant that the mentors were on the ride with the whole selection and process with our training and preparation for the game. But then it also became our own private cheer squad while we're at the game. And I was lucky enough to have a little private cheer squad that knew me and had seen where I'd come from and was there for the success as well.
It's a fascinating program, and obviously you're still able to carry those skills on in your career, which is wonderful. Let's just go ahead to the Commonwealth Games. 9 Fridays, as we like to say here on Gold Coast Gold. We're with Catherine Skinner, Olympic gold medalist shooter, who's been announced as part of the 28-member shooting team for the Games. 9 Fridays to go. What's the preparation for you between now and the Games?
A whole lot of targets.
How many a day? Is it every day on the range?
I'm not shooting every day. I'm sort of doing a bit of a cramming approach. For a few weeks out, we'll just be doing the maintenance. But as we're getting closer to the event, we'll start ramping it up. We're lucky enough that we've got a World Cup before it. So we'll have an international competition first. We've got a training camp in between then and getting back from there and the games. And then we'll be able to train just before the event as well on the range.
And where is that World Cup?
The World Cup's in Mexico.
Yeah.
So I've never been there before, so that'll be interesting. Hopefully we get all the paperwork right, because last time we got into a bit of trouble.
Not an easy place to get to or travel to in the best of times, I'm sure. What about the Belmont shooting range? What's your experiences been there?
Oh, it was so high scoring. I was lucky enough to shoot on it for our test event. So the Commonwealth Federated Championship that was held last year, and we saw an Aussie record shot on the ground, and it's going to be incredible.
What makes a high shooting range? That fascinates me, a high shooting range.
Well, a high score shooting range is a combination of different things, because we are out in the open, so sometimes weather affects us, but one of the big differences is about the background, and having something of a high contrast for them, because there's a few grounds that have a bit of an optical illusion going on with where we might be on the side of a hill. So So then some targets look like they're a lot higher than they actually are because they're moving away from the ground, or or we might be facing into a hill, so they look like they're going a lot lower. While the ground at Belmont has this big green screen that I think is one of the first in Australia to be installed, and it just acts like a wall for a projection. So then the target just sits nicely there, and we don't have it disappear in any shadows, or just even a change of colour in the background can mess it up a bit. So it's nice and clear, and it's going to be really interesting to see how the day goes.
And what are your expectations for the games? Do you contemplate, winning, or is it just a little bit more simplistic than that? Doing shooting as well as you can.
I'm just going to take it one target at a time, and we'll have a chat afterwards.
That sounds like a true athlete talking. But as a Olympic champion, there'll be a lot of focus on you. And with Leticia being the defending gold medalist, there'll be a lot of focus on her as well. And it's one of those things that Australians love watching shooting at major championships, whether it's Susie Balog or Russell Mark or Michael Diamond or yourself. We get into it and we like it, and we tend to rise and fall on every shot. So you know that there'll be a lot of support on the range.
Yeah,
and on
that's one of the big excitements, is it's a home crowd too, so we're going to have a lot of friends there.
And being up in Brisbane, just before we'll let you go shortly, but the range is in Brisbane, but will you guys be staying in the village and travelling up and back each day?
I need a bit of clarification on it. I think we were actually now going into a satellite village that's near it.
Yep.
So we don't have to do I think it's a 2.5 hour trip from Belmont and to the village up in the Gold Coast. So I think we're just going to be around the corner for our event. But I don't know if we're staying there the whole time.
Well, hopefully you'll get back to experience, all the excitement of the Gold Coast Games. It's going to be a ripper. The uniform has been unveiled, and teams are being announced every week as we get closer to the Games. Catherine, thanks for your time today on Gold Coast Gold. It's been a fascinating chat. We love watching you in action, and we wish you all the very best for the Commonwealth Games.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me.
Catherine Skinner there, our Olympic gold medalist in shooting, off to the Games in 9 weeks' time. That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.